Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. One of the great Pauline thrusts of Christ, our righteousness. I'm going to be saying something shortly that I'm hoping and praying you do not stone me. After having said what I'm going to say, I'm going to talk about robbing God. So, if it does not apply to you, punch your neighbor. So, or the wife can look at the husband and say, it's your fault. You know, you can blame each other. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now, and I know it by heart and you do, no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weakened by flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemning sin in the flesh. I memorized a few chapters of the Bible, you know. And I love to memorize Bible. Here's the point. The Holy Spirit keeps me from falling. He transforms my heart. He changes me. He makes me like Jesus. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Do you want to be like Jesus? Say, I want to be like Jesus. Amen? Sure, you can do better than that. You sound like you're still in bed. I want to be like Jesus. There you go. Yes, you do. And that begins with a transformation process. The moment I accept Christ, I am a new creation. Oh, is that good news? I'm new. I belong to the God of heaven. You know, today, I'm going to tell you beforehand, I'm going to invite you to come forward. Because we're going to dedicate your life to God today. We're going to forget all the past and deal with God from today forward. Okay? So I'm going to ask you to do that. It's no biggie. You know, you don't have to worry. Your neighbors are going to stand up with you, and we're just going to come together so that I can pray for you in the power of the Holy Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit in your life, don't you? I'm preaching a funeral service tomorrow. A young woman died prematurely of bone marrow cancer. And I got to see her last Friday before she passed away Sabbath. And her daughter, who's married a dentist, said, would you please have the funeral? And I said, I'd love to. And I remember walking up to Elizabeth. She's laying in a hospital bed there, one of those beds in a nursing home. And the reason the hospital sent her to the nursing home, some of you who came to prayer meeting heard me say this, is that they knew that was it. That was all they could do. So I walked up and I said, Elizabeth, it's Pastor Gale. And those beautiful eyes opened up. Oh, hi. No hair. The chemo's taken it all. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Are you with me? And I took her hand and I prayed with her. And I said, we're going to a land where there is no more pain, no more sorrow. Oh, thanks be to Jesus. Amen. And you know how real this is? I don't care if I only stay here a year. I'm not, by the way, I'm staying more than a year. You want me to stay more than a year, don't you? I just got here, you know. But even if I stay a short while and some whatever happens, I wake up every morning saying, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. Amen. And Elizabeth is waiting. Do you know Elizabeth has already seen the Lord? You say, oh, he believes when you die, you go to heaven. Oh, no, there's no time in death. So for her, there's no time. I have to catch up with her. Oh, I can't wait to see Jesus. Oh, I can't wait. How many of you would say amen to that? Would you bow your heads with me and invite Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, into your heart? Father God, oh, you are so wonderful. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful Father. Everything we have belongs to you. And Father, you know, that includes our sin as well. Jesus took that. May today be a beautiful day, Father. One in which we make a decision, some of us, to serve you in a greater depth of service than maybe we have before, a challenging depth. I pray this in Jesus' name. And the whole church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. I'm preaching today on honesty. Honesty pays dividends. In other words, when you're honest with God, there is an internal mechanism that takes place where God blesses you abundantly. How many of you know that's true? Okay, so we're going to run through the first commandment. We are in the Big Ten. The first one is, you shall have what? No other gods before me. And I know you know what I showed you. Put God what? How do you do it? Relationships, scheduling of your time and what? And your troubles. Are you with me so far? See, you keep rehearsing this. You don't know by heart. The second commandment, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And the third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And that means when you take God's name in jest, as though it was attack on. Golly, gee, or whatever. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. Remember what? Sabbath day to keep it holy. How many Seventh-day Adventists know that one? Oh yes, we all know that one. Remember, the only commandment that says remember, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is given you. You shall not murder. That's really the literal. Retzak in the Hebrew. It doesn't mean kill, it means murder. Manslayer, you shall not take the life of an individual. And I showed you in the Old Testament, they had six cities of refuge, six. Three on each side of the Jordan, within a half a day's walk. So that, and there were signs everywhere, refuge, 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 so that the manslayer could go there. The next commandment, you shall not commit adultery, Matthew 20. You remember Matthew 5:21? If you look on a person with lust in your heart, you've what? You've committed adultery already. And then you shall not steal. You shall not steal. That's the Lord talking. You shall not steal. I passed some sermon notes for you, and I'm going to give you some additional material as we journey along. You know, somebody asked me one day, why do you use notes? Because I can preach without notes. Because I am an extroverted personality, it's easy for me to get sidetracked. And I could preach 10 sermons in a half an hour, and I don't want to do that. I want to stay on track. Remember I told you my wife and her physical descriptions of me, slow down, or, you know, you're too loud. And, you know, after a while, people thought that she was crazy. And it wasn't. It was just that we were doing sign language. I'm going to begin with something here. Obviously, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, I think I went by it. But here it is. I want to back up on this. I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn to Matthew 5. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew 5. This sermon is not one of those sophisticated sermons that, you know, I put a lot of time in it, but it's not one of those new theology sermons. Is basically talking about stealing. And here's the front line. When you do not tithe, you are stealing from God. Whoa, that was bold. Okay, listen. Matthew 5, and I've written some text down. Write it in your notes. 33 through 37. When Jesus covers the Ten Commandments, he seems to skip this one a little bit. He talks about adultery and so on. But listen to 33. Again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not what? Swear. What does it say in your Bible? Falsely. How many of you have been baptized? In one of your baptismal vows, there was one that said, I will what? Tithe. Did you get that? Now listen to this. But shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is footstool, nor by Jerusalem, it's the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. I wish I could do that, but it, you know. I've tried that stuff that you can rinse, but it doesn't stay in. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Now I want you to see something. I'm going to set the stage for you, and then we'll rapid fire through these. But I want you to turn to Acts 5 now. Verses 1. Acts chapter what? 5, verse 1. Listen to this. This is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. How many of you remember reading this? Okay, I'm going to give this Rocky Gale's Clapton Notes twist. All right, are you with me? Here it is. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to who? To God. Now look at the next verse. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. That must have been an amazing church service. He's here and he's gone. Breathed his last. So great fear came upon those who heard these things. I don't know about you, but I would have said, this is one church service I'd like to leave quick. Now listen to the next part. And the young man rose, wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now, it was about 3 hours later. How long? 3 hours. About 3 hours later, when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. So she agreed with Ananias. Are you with me? Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. So we know one thing at death, you breathe your last breath. Right? That's a good teaching on death. Listen to this now. And the young man came in and found her dead. Found her what? So when you breathe your last breath, you are what? Dead, okay? And carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon the church and upon all those who heard. Oh my, talk about fear, I guess. Now, I want you to listen to this. I don't know how to do this any different than what I'm going to share with you right now. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to be hurt, but I don't want to hurt you. But I must be honest with God. I have prayed yesterday about this, whether or not I should bring it across to you in this manner. When you join the body of Christ, you make a covenant commitment. I will be faithful. Are you with me? If you choose to keep back part, you are lying to the Holy Spirit. Boy, you could hear it quiet. You are saying, I committed and vowed this, but I'm not going to do it. So part of your life is being withheld. Would you agree so far? And you say, I love you, God. I want you, my Lord. I want you as my Savior. I want you to direct my affairs. I want to be honest with you. But when it comes to this, I'm sorry. So what you're doing, now listen, is you're telling God, I love you. You are my Lord, but not all of me. You are keeping back part for yourself. You are lying to God. That is dangerous. And the Bible, you're going to see in just a moment, says God quotes where he says, you are lying to me. You're not only, you are robbing me. That's a kind of a different way of looking at Acts 5, isn't that? when I studied this, I said, Lord, if Ananias and Sapphira had the choice as to whether or not to give their life, which they did they not? Before they made a vow, they had a choice to give their life or not. It was their own life. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I don't have my pocketbook, but I gave him everything. Do you know they're reducing pastors' salaries by 5% and we're going to give more? And I'm the only one working. But God takes care of me. I want you to know that the Lord God in heaven is not short concerning finances. Listen, his arm is not shortened that he cannot save. The problem is not with God. The problem is my lack of faith. Okay. How do we steal? How do we steal? I want you to write this in your notes. How do I steal? By deceiving customers. Write it in your notes. Listen to the text. When will a new moon pass that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat? Let me give you a homiletical application before I continue. Have you ever heard your children say to you, I can't wait for the Sabbath to pass so we can have fun? Have you ever thought about this when you were raising your children? What time is it, Mom? What time is it? Well, it's 5 o'clock. What time is Sabbath off? 5:20. Oh, my. We've got 20 minutes to count down, and they almost counted down. You know, because we have viewed the Sabbath in a way that's not appropriate. You agree with that? Instead of a delight, we've viewed it as an obligation. You can't put your feet in the water, but you can be baptized. Remember I told you about that. So you deceive your customers. And listen to the rest of this. Making the ephah small and the shekel large. Listen to what they're doing. Falsifying scales. Well, you know, you owe me 300 when in fact you owe me 200. So I deceive customers by using a false scale. God reads my heart. Secondly, well, let me see. I think my wife put the text right up here. Here it is. Falsifying the scales by what? The seed. I told you this is one of those hard sermons. You know, you probably are aware that Oregon Conference is in trouble. How many of you know that? I mean, trouble. And I was talking to one of the secretaries of the conference this week. And she said, Pastor Gail, what would you do? I said, here's what I would do. She said, well, you need to tell the president that. I'm not going to tell you what I told her, but I said, here's what I would do. Number one, I wouldn't cut personnel because the church hires pastors to preach. Nobody in his right mind cuts personnel. They did it in Florida 8 years ago and cut 38 pastors, and it's never recovered. But I gave her what I thought. She wrote me back an email, and you know, it was delightful to read. She said, Pastor, why don't you talk to the president? Please, please, please. Here's what I think one of our problems is. Number one, the closer we get to the end, the more demanding it appears God is. But you know why? God wants your heart. Are you with me? And the clearest test of my allegiance to God is my pocketbook. For where your treasure is, there is your heart. Okay, defrauding employers. What's the Bible say here? And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. If you're going to serve someone, do it honestly. Can you defraud employers? Yes, take a little extra toilet tissue, take a little extra paper towel, take this, take that. I remember reading about one woman, she came in, well, let me tell you, this is really good. Not what she did, but what my daughter saw. Here's this slim and trim young girl about 17 walking into Ross. How many of you shop at Ross? Come on now, we all shop at Ross. And she goes through the clothing. By the time she comes out, she's 250 pounds. My daughter walked up to her, Henry, and said, you don't want to do that. She said, do what? And here she is looking like a blimp, you know. You didn't get pregnant in 5 minutes. She said, well, I'm never coming back here again. My daughter said, there are people at the door watching you. You don't want to do that. Take it back, please. She came out nice and trim and gave my daughter one of those, left. You know what they told me at one department store in Arizona? People case the joint. Dillard's department store. I talked to one of the young ladies. And you know why? Because I wanted to talk to her about Jesus. So we talked about clothes to get to Jesus. And I said, how is it here? She said, oh, it's going good. She said, if we could keep the thievery away, people pull up with a car right up to the front door of Dillard's, and they have two people casing the place. And as soon as the door opens, since the men's clothes are on the front in their very expensive slacks, one guy will come in quick while the others are diverted and grab a stack and run out the door. And once he leaves the door, guess what? You do not chase him. But God saw. Oh, yes, God saw. So, whatever you do, do it heartily. And number three, by delaying payments. Listen to what the Bible says in Leviticus 19:13. You shall not cheat your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until what? You know what the Bible is saying? If you owe a man, pay him. Don't keep stalling. Are you with me? You pay what you owe. If we agree that you're going to cut my timber for such and such price, and I say, well, you know, Bill's expecting to get paid the 20th, but I can get interest on that money in the bank until the 30th, I'll wait. He doesn't care. I'll pay him the 31st, or I'll pay him next month. I'll tell him something happened that I can't pay him now. And probably since Bill's such a nice guy, he'll say, okay, we'll work it out. And I keep collecting interest. That's dishonesty. See, God sees what? He sees my heart. Do I preach straight here? Do you want me to? By defaulting on loans. Well, this is good. Defaulting on loans. You know, when I look at this, let me tell you what I see. The Bible says, listen to this in Psalm 37. I want you to catch it in verse 21. Psalm 37, verse 21. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. That's, you buy a house. Can I give you an example? And you're making $3,000 a month and you buy a $400,000 house. Well, you've got 4% fixed rate for 2 years, interest only. And the payment is $900 a month. And you say, well, we can afford that. Well, what's going to happen when it becomes principal and interest and so on? Well, we'll wait until that time comes and maybe we can refinance. Are you with me so far? And the 2 years lapse. And all of a sudden, the bank said, we want our money. The interest has now jumped from 4 to 7. And you say, well, we'll go bankrupt. You used to be able to do that 2 years ago. Just walk away. Oh, that doesn't work now. And you know what people are doing in Florida? They are leaving these $500,000 homes in Palm Beach, right on the coast, Luke. They are leaving these mansions that had gold-plated faucets, and they're walking out taking everything in the house with them. The faucets, the sinks, the bathtub, they're taking everything. And when the bank comes to repossess the house, there's nothing left but a shell. And they're even sabotaging the pool. That's not an exaggeration. Read U.S. News and World Report. So the bank says, look, we have a house worth $700,000. That's what the people paid for it. It's now worth $400,000. But in the shape it's in, it's worth $200,000. And we're lucky we can get $100,000. It's as though the person said, well, you know, I'm going to get back at you anyway. So I'm going to take everything that I think belongs to me. Nobody forced you to sign on the line. A friend of mine owed $150,000. He wasn't making much money. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? And I said, I know what you ought to do. He said, I'm going to do just what you're suggesting. I'm going to pay it all back. And I don't know how, but I'm going to. And he began to pay and pay and pay. He paid it off. Tore up his credit cards. We need plastic surgery. And he said, if I can't pay, I don't play. And paid it all back, and now he's getting Visa Gold, American Express Blue, or whatever. He's getting all these cards, and the first thing he's doing is plastic surgery. Cutting them in two, you know. So the wicked borrows and does not repay. Maybe you fall in here. I don't know your life. If you went bankrupt, that's over with. That's over with. Today is a new day. That is gone. Man asked me this morning in Winston, you know, I haven't tithed. What am I going to do? I said, forget the past. Let's take right now. He said, I started tithing a week ago. I said, oh, praise be to God. Do you know the church would not be in the trouble it's in now if we were honest with God? Would you agree? You know what I said? One of the things I said to this dear secretary, if I stood before an Adventist congregation and said, some of you have CDs worth thousands of dollars that you are waiting for some retirement in the future. If I said to you, now is the time. The church is facing a crisis. You mean you would not turn that CD in and say, here, God, use it now. I'm waiting for the time of trouble. Guess what? It's here. And I can tell you, people would step forward. I know they would. I know Adventist people. Here we are with the church down here. People have volunteered to buy carpet. People have volunteered for our platform. We need your help. Are you with me? Don't rob God. You can rob me if you want to. But don't rob God. I might just get upset. God takes it real personal. He really does. Okay, by deceiving the government. Romans 13 is a text that we use. The authorities are working for God. Maybe you didn't realize that, but they are. Pay what you owe them. Pay your personal and private taxes. Tax avoidance is not... tax avoidance... Well, let me back up. You shouldn't. There's no reason for you to overpay your taxes or not plan to try to maximize your money. I'm not talking about that. Get every discount you can get. I'm talking about the person that said, well, I'm just not going to pay my taxes. I remember a man in Arizona. He said, I haven't paid taxes for 10 years. I said, what are they doing? You know, he said, I get these notes. They're going to take everything I've got. He said, I haven't got anything. You know what I said to him? You do not want to be found in a balances weighed and wanting. He said, you mean this is a spiritual issue? I said, oh yeah, I mean that. He said, about a year later, I started paying my taxes back. I said, how's it going? He said, grueling. And he said, it's a wonder they didn't throw me in jail. Listen, Romans 13 says, because of this, you also pay taxes for they are God's ministers. I didn't say this, Paul says. I'm glad we have government. I'm glad we have the police department. I'm glad we have the fire department. Would you say amen to that? Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad we have young men and women defending our freedoms. I want them to come home safe. I do. My heart goes out to them. Listen, attending continually to this very thing. Look at verse 7. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Custom to whom customs. And that was a biblical thing at the time of Paul. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. And Paul is really saying here, be absolutely transparent with people and with God. So don't defraud, deceive the government. Tax evasion is illegal. Okay, by defrauding the Lord. Rocky, why didn't you skip by this one? You've talked enough about it. Here you go. You can't keep your mouth shut. You got to deal with this issue. Yeah, I really do. Listen to this. Will a man... Oh, let me give this to you. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say... The Bible says, come now and let us what? Let's talk things over. If Jesus sat right here, and I sat here, and the Lord looked me right in the eye, and he said, let's talk. You love me? Oh, you know I love you, Lord Jesus. You know I love you. You've been so good to me. Yeah, I saved you by grace. Yes, you did. I blessed you abundantly. You sure did. Why is it you and I have this problem? You don't take it serious that I'm your Lord by giving me back what the Bible says you ought to give. And that is your tithe. Well, why, Lord, is that important? Because I own you. 1/7 of your time and 1/10 of your treasure. How would you face Jesus? Oh, I want to face Jesus and say, oh, Lord, my God, how great thou art. Some of us go through terrible crises. We're on Social Security, and I remember one lady telling me, I really cannot pay tithe. I said, I want to challenge you for 1 week to pay tithe. Or 1 month, rather. And so she paid tithe. $78 on $780. The next month, she said to me, do you have a moment? I said, yes. She said, you know the $78? I said, yes. I received a check in the mail for $78. I said, that's interesting. How could that happen? You think God does not know us? He created us? See, tithe is a spiritual issue because it's a grace issue. You give out the grace of your heart, honesty toward the one who owns you. Are you with me? Why should I be honest? Why? Well, number one, I'm being watched by God. Now listen to the text in Job chapter 34. For his eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. There is no darkness, nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. I'll be honest with you. When probation closes for this world, I do not want to be found wanting. I'm going to have to face the Lord. Not Rocky Gale. By the way, I don't know if I... Do you mind me asking you a question? How many of you are okay with it? You don't know what I'm going to ask. What do you think is the most difficult position to fill in a church? Head elder? Head deacon? Clerk? Say it nice and loud, please.
Treasurer.
Okay. I had a lady in Florida. She said, Pastor? I said, yes. She said, I quit. I said, you just started? She said, I quit. I can't handle it anymore. And she was crying, just crying. And I said, why? She said, I just can't handle it. I don't even dare go into a depth. I can't handle it. She quit. And the second treasurer said, I'll try it. She called me a week later. Oh, man. Pastor, I don't know if I want this job. I don't know what you give and you don't give. I want you to know that right now. I don't check records on people. That's not my custom. But I'm going to tell you one thing. God does know what you do with him. He does. Okay? So why should I be honest? Because I am watched by God. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. My children, and my daughter especially, she's a deep tither. Deep tither. And she said to me one day, Dad, I'm paying a lot of tithe. You know, they're both in the nursing field, and so they make big money. And she said, you know, this is a lot of tithe, $18,000 a year. You know, it's a lot of tithe. I said, I'll tell you what, honey. I'll pray that God will give you a job with a little less money. She said, oh, don't do that, Dad. I said, well, you said you're paying too much tithe. She said, I want to pay more now. Oh, listen. You know why people steal? Because they think they can get away with it. They do. If you're a parent, you're not only being watched by God, you're being watched by your kids. Your kids are watching you. Your values are caught, not taught. Did you catch that one? What is my lifestyle communicating to my children? It's a wonderful heritage to have an honest father. I was listening to Steve and Annie Chapman about honest parents coming up here. And I'm, you know, I listen to these songs and I'm crying and I'm, you know, trying to drive and I look like somebody punched me in the face. You know, my face is red and it's because God is talking to my heart. Listen, brothers and sisters, you didn't call me to Sutherland, God did. And while I'm here, I'm going to tell it like it is. If I'm here a year, 6 months, whatever it is, I'm going to tell it like it is. By the way, I'm not planning on leaving. You don't want me to leave, do you? So I'm going to tell it like it is. Okay, here it is now. You reap what you sow. I have a dollar bill in my pocket. It's not much money. But I remember a pastor friend giving each church member By the way, the membership was $1,000, $100 bill. And he said, I want you to sow this for God. And I don't wear my pocketbook when I preach because it bulges out, and so I don't wear it. But I have money I put aside for sowing. Somebody's having a hard time here. It's a seed of faith. What you sow, you reap. So these people, 1,000 in all, took the $100 bill, and he said, spend it on yourself any way you want. Take the kids to the movie. You do whatever you want, but it's God's money. And one girl said, oh, man, $100, what good is it? It belongs to God. So they took the money and began to sow the money. Are you with me so far? Can you track the story? The next weekend, the church is coming in and they're exuberant. It's pouring out over everybody. We got to talk. Pastor, you can't preach. We got to share these experiences. And they began to tell about what I did with $100. Here's what I did. I helped a homeless person who helped so on. I did this. I did that. And they were so overwhelmed by what God did with $100. They said, why is it that we never caught it before? And the pastor was right, because you knew that money belonged to God and it wasn't yours. It's like this. If I tell you to switch pocketbooks, we're going to take up an offering, you'd give the whole thing. It's not yours. Are you with me? And by the way, you're being watched by people. People are watching your life. They're watching how you spend your treasure. So what I reap, I sow. Why do we steal? What motivates dishonesty? Greed? Laziness? It's easier to get one way. And you'll hear people say, I hope I win the lottery. How many of you heard that before? Sure you have. I hope I win the lottery. Pride is another. It's somehow in our warped sense of values, we get a thrill out of conning others, you know. So I reap what I sow. God is not deceived. God is not mocked. Man, whatever man sows, he reaps. So whatever you're sowing, you reap. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, not just himself. He who hates bribes will live. Getting treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting fancy of those who seek death. Listen to this. Getting treasures by a lying tongue. That's really interesting. Okay, number three. Dishonesty damages my character. It damages my character. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 2. Treasures of the wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. And then Proverbs 19:1. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than the one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Oh my. And then number 4. God will reward my honesty. He will reward my honesty. To whom much is given, much is required. Can you picture it now? There's a giant earthquake. The earth looks like a boiling cauldron. There's lawlessness everywhere. And somebody says to you, look at the sky. It's black as midnight, but there's a light. And the shafts of lightning come across the sky and it parts through the bell of Orion. And you see a small cloud like a man's hand coming. And then the earth begins to shake. And the dead come forth. And you look around. What if you're standing over a grave and don't know it? That'll be interesting. And they come forth and you look at him. How old are you? Oh, 800 years old. To meet the Maker. And what does Jesus say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. So you're saved by works? No. No, you're not. Faith works. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You who are faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Back to my picture. Some people will have a crown placed by Jesus on a sea of glass with one star. Some will have a crown full of stars. There are rewards, not just reward. The reward is eternal life. And the wicked are rewarded as well. Okay, let me give you steps to integrity as we wind down. Number 1, Make restoration when possible. Maybe you can't because the person is dead. If you have robbed someone, you need to seek them out if you can. And if you don't have it, pray that God will give it to you so you can make it right. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." You can picture it. He was a little man underneath the tree, and he looked down to see Jesus pass by. And I can picture this now. Jesus looks up, "Zacchaeus." Oh, he saw me up a tree out on a limb. And Jesus said, "I'm coming to your house." Do you know that's the first place and only place in all the Bible where Jesus invites himself? Can you imagine him? "I've got to tell Mrs. Zacchaeus, you're coming." You know, she likes things prepared. "I'm coming to your house today." Oh my, beautiful. "Give God my full tithe." And here it is. "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings you are cursed." Oh, I didn't. Oh, that's hard language. "With a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." He's talking to Israel, obviously. But you are the new Israelite. Galatians 3:29, "If you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now, this says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, there will not be room enough to hold it." Would you say amen to that? Oh my. And number three, make an honest living. Make an honest living. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." So if you're stealing, don't steal any longer. There's a text I'm going to close with. Joel 2:25, it's in your notes. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I want you to look at me. God promises to make up for your lost years. Lost months, lost weeks. He will make up for those. You say, "I blew it all last year." You should have seen my life. God says, "I will make up for what the locust has eaten. I will make up for your lost years." Is that good news? How many of you would like to say, "God, would you make up for my lost years?" You know, when I look at my life, there are so many things I did wrong. I remember telling my wife one day, "You know, I don't see how we can do this and survive." And she says, "We cannot do it. If we do not do it, we will not survive." I read a statement, "God died to save us. It's now time to look at him who lives to keep us." I want to give you an invitation to join me. Maybe, I don't know your heart. I don't know your issue in this area. There was a man this morning, you could tell, he wanted to talk to me, and he made a beeline for me, and he said, I did this, and this." I said, God, tell God that. That's over with. I want you to know 10 minutes ago is over. It's done. Right now is the moment. Today is it. Right now. Would you like to tell God? Right now, I want to be yours. I can't make excuses for the past. You have made up for those lost months and years. But right now, I want to start over with you. I want you to be Lord of my life. Let's stand. And if you'd like to join me, I want to invite you to come. I don't do a lot of this, but this is a dedication of you to God. I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about your whole life. So I'd like to invite you to join me up front here. You don't have to worry about anybody seeing you. It's not one of those, some person said, cheesy altar calls, you know, those flimsy kind. No, this is a serious thing. I'm telling you, you belong to God. Are you hearing me? You belong to God. And because of that, you cannot live another moment without the grace of Jesus Christ in your life. I want you to do something for me. Repeat after me, "God has forgiven my past." And I want you to do this with your hand. And I want you to do this. It's gone. Never coming back. This moment right now will never come back. Why? It's a moment in history and time, a place and point. It's never coming back. And yet Jesus says, "Oh, I love you. Let's not let anything get in the way." And I say, "Oh, what a tremendous Lord. Amen." And I want to serve him my whole heart. Wouldn't you say whole heart with me? Whole heart. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, in the quietness of this sanctuary, as we think about the blessings that you have brought to Sutherland Church, Lord, the pipes burst. The church is close together. People are volunteering. The church is going to be like new. Father, your hand is in all things. All things work together to the good according to your honor and glory. Our lives, Lord, sometimes seem like a wreck. We don't know where we're going, and we don't know if we'll ever get there. But we do know one thing right now. Right now, Lord, you are willing to step into our lives and be our Lord and King. And we want to invite you right now. Would you please step into our lives? Angels, crowd in around us, please. May we feel your presence. May we see your working, hear you talk to us. Thank you for forgiving our sins, oh Lord. For taking us as your children. With all our foibles and all our mistakes and all our promises, like Sister White said, are like ropes of sand. We come to you today acknowledging you, Jesus, as our Lord and our King. And oh, we want to see you. We're so homesick for heaven. Keep us ever mindful of this moment when we said yes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, it's great to worship God, isn't it? Do you know, I was thinking the other day, we've had some powerful meetings in this little place. We have. The Holy Spirit's been here. God has worked with us. May God bless you. And you're going out, and you're coming in, you're rising, and you're sitting down. And may His face shine upon you and give you peace. Amen? God bless you.